You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free, and in tandem with no one. Everything has changed. We're all alone. Not even producer Kristen's here on this recording. I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the comatose chase of the Bufferingverse, a.k.a. when I have the gun squad, objection, leading the witness, a.k.a. the Gilbert to Morgan Sullivan, a.k.a. daddy, even if no one can remember that, because I can. A.K.A. Captain Forehead, baby. A.K.A. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And I'm your co-host, Morgan Ludich. A.K.A. the Winifred Burkle of the Bufferingverse. A.K.A. the other half of the gun squad. You know, law is mostly paperwork. It's not just litigation. A.K.A. the Sullivan to LaToya's Gilbert. A.K.A. unfortunately, someone who remembers the time that Daddy was set on this show, a.k.a. William Bloody, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And this week, we're watching Angel Season 5, Episode 4, Hellbound. Hellbound was written and directed by Stephen S. DeKnight. It aired on the WB on October 22nd, 2003.
And this is the one where Spike's hold on the real world starts to slip as he begins seeing specters of Wolfram and Hart's past victims, a true sign that he is going to heck.
Going to heck in a handbasket.
Yeah.
Previously on Angel. Once again, absolutely nothing. I looked into it to check when we get previouslys again. Because we got previously in the second episode because it was a two-parter. Yeah. It's not till the second half of the season, just so you know.
Woof.
Yeah. And I really think there should be. Again, we are a spoiler-free podcast. But the combination, like, both the combination of that unnecessary Lorne previously that we had in a previous episode and Lorne's one scene in this episode, they are clearly setting up for something, but it doesn't, it kind of feels like it's piecemeal, like they're just throwing things around right now. It doesn't make sense what they're setting up for because of the lack of previouslys. And gotcha. The way he's just kind of in and out, and there is something happening, but you wouldn't know happening.
Yeah, because I truly did not know there was something happening.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah,
I'm not like, when I was looking, I'm like, we should have previously starting at least like the seventh episode of the season, and no. So let's go through some, you know, some notes. As I've been telling you for weeks, This episode had me fucked up.
Yeah.
This one definitely got the advisory warning before it, of course. Stephen S. DeKnight loves to do it to them being me.
Yes.
So watching this episode, I made sure it was daytime. Yeah. My lights were on.
Good.
I couldn't see shit on the screen, but that was the way I liked it. I think overall I am conflicted about this episode. I like it immensely more than the last episode. Mm-hmm. And it's got quite a bit of what I wanted. But again, it's the previously thing and the Lauren thing. And we'll talk about that. But like, yeah, overall, good stuff. Stephen S. DeKnight has done what I wanted.
Yeah, I agree. I think a big improvement on the last two episodes for sure. There's still some issues, and I think we should talk about them. But I'm excited to talk about this episode.
No,
with you. I think it's really spooky.
No Grey Poupon rich people in this episode. No lifestyles in the rich and famous over here.
Honestly, almost no characters that aren't our characters.
Yeah,
for the most part, which. It was kind of nice. Like, there's been so much new stuff. It was nice to have, like, more of this episode be, like, old reliable. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that we know, besides all of the Spike stuff, which is admittedly new.
Yeah, it's interesting because the episode starts where it's like, oh, great. They're all basically strangers, but then they do work together. And it was it was good. Let's see. This episode of Angel followed the Smallville episode Slumber, aka the episode that's all about promoting REM's greatest hits. Literally, it's all about an episode all about REM cycles.
Okay.
It was written by Drew Z. Greenberg, former Buffy writer. This was his first gig after Buffy, Smallville Season 3.
Oh, well, good for him. I know Smallville's good based on things that you and other people have told me.
It can be good.
But that sounds terrible.
Okay, so I told you it's about REM cycles. What do you think happens in the episode? Other than REM plays nonstop.
Superman can't stop sleeping. he's sleeping so hard it's fucking everything up.
It's not him sleeping so hard that's fucking things up. It is someone else who's basically being induced into a coma by her family for various purposes, and she is like bringing him into this so he can help. Yes.
Oh, okay. And she loves REM.
We all love REM. All the teens in 2003, we were bopping.
I must have forgotten. I guess I wasn't a teen in 2003, so I was not yet. I was 11,
yet bopping.
So I was not yet bopping.
Here's the thing: I was bopping. Is the thing.
Fair enough. I was like listening to Avril Lavigne's Let Go nonstop at that point.
The only thing greater to me was the episode of The Mountain with all American Idiot music.
Oh, a special network. A really special network that is now
gone. No one does it like this anymore. Again, they had to do it to us.
Yeah.
And they did. So I did want to address a tweet that Scooby sent a while ago that I just couldn't find a place to say it until now. So yeah, because I think it's after the premiere. This is from Tom. Hi, Tom. Mm-hmm. So it was because we were talking about Gunn essentially being the first domino to fall in Wolfman Hart. The way Tom sees it is that, you know, Gunn wasn't the first domino, just the latest in Angel's handbasket on his slippery slope, which makes season 5 the culmination, not a repilot. And, you know, again, without spoiling, I feel like, Tom, I agree with you, but I feel like a lot of the times people forget or just kind of ignore that I especially have to talk about the show without spoiling and not acknowledging the whole piece, which is something I could very much do right now. how often do, Chris is not here, but you can obviously say, how often do we have to cut things because I just straight up bring up the whole fuller context of the season?
I mean, like, fairly often. And I imagine that, like, if I were more familiar with the full series, it would be the same. So, like, I'm often helped by the fact that I can't do that.
Yeah.
But, like, you often help me gain larger context on stuff that I don't like based on knowing a lot more about the big picture than me, which is really helpful to me. But, yeah, sometimes being a spoiler-free pod can hamstring our discussions a little
bit. And I'd say especially this season, because like I know that season, it's fine to say season five is a culmination, and I do appreciate overall what it does, even though it's not my favorite season as a whole. I find the series finale brilliant. Ooh, spoiler opinion on the season finale, series finale. But for the purposes of what the WB clearly wanted, the premiere and the season, like, and we'll even note, like, literally Fred is, again, saying what the premise of the season is. We run Wolfman Hart, trying to take it down through and thin. Yeah, we're again saying this. It's like the network clearly wanted a repilot, even though for the purposes of creatives and Joss, they're threading the needle of making it a full part of the cohesive story. So when we're talking about these episodes as singular pieces, even what's happened in the season like earlier, it's because of the intent of the network to be as singular as they possibly could be for like a pretty dense show, like, which is again why there's so few previouslys, why you have Fred constantly reiterating what the season is. The show had to essentially make accommodations for the network that they didn't have to do if, like, in seasons 2 through 4.
Yeah.
Person of Interest, a show I bring up a lot, had to do this in its final season, too, where CBS, after they were tricked into having a serialized show, basically, Jonah Nolan lied to them what the show is. They're like, okay, you're doing episodic this time. And they did episodic in the final season, and it was still a part of a bigger piece anyway. And it's, again, something that happens on Smallville after the season of Smallville that this season, like, was as a lead-in. I've said this before. It's because also the way, I would say, Lost changed the conversation, especially coming from networks on this type of thing. But, like, even all those shows that try to rip off Lost, or those shows that try to rip off Mad Men, the reason they all failed, like, The Event and, like, Pan Am and the Playboy Club, is because they were still episodic. Like, we could just pretend they're serialized, right?
Because, like, because serialized can be kind of a dirty word in this industry, or was for a long time. It was seen as something that TV, like, couldn't or shouldn't be, or that it was, like, too cerebral or smart for people, and that television is meant to be a medium you only half pay attention to, which I think is not true.
I like paying attention. I like turning on my brain for this, and I like having these discussions. So, again, thank you, Tom. I understand exactly where you're coming from, but I was just like, sometimes I feel like people don't understand where exactly I'm coming from. So I'm like, here's the context. I don't disagree with you, but here's why I disagree with you.
and I think it also is, you are very right that it is. It's tough to talk about this without bigger context, because there's obviously, like, there's things I remember from this season that happened in the back half that I definitely have opinions on, and I'm excited to get to. So I'm trying to hold my tongue on them for now. We'll see how well we do.
Before we get there, I have a question, Morgan. Angel's hair is getting closer to normal, right?
It is. It is. In this episode, I was like, pretty much like, all right, I'll allow it. I'm mad at him for other things. I'm really mad at him for other things.
Oh, boy.
And maybe more angry with the writers, but I'm upset, and I'm excited to talk to you about why I'm upset. I'm
excited.
Wrote a full novel in my notes about it. So.
Oh my god!
Yay! shall we dive in?
Of course. You know, it feels good when you dive in. Wow, I love that shoulder shimmy. Could you do what felt good when you dive in?
Yeah, it's because I know it feels good when you dive in. So. We're in Wolfram and Hart. It's after hours. Fred is walking around, and right away, Steve DeKnight is like, I'm shooting the fuck out of this thing. We have a very, like, voyeuristic POV camera that's, like, following her through the bowels of Wolfram and Hart into the lab. And it's someone behind her, and she turns around. Ah, no one's behind her. She turns back around. Spike's right in front of her, and she makes a big show of screaming and dropping her papers, because it turns out Spike does this a lot, and he's, like, starting to gain a complex with the fact that he isn't scary anymore.
Sounds like Spike.
Nice of her to do that.
That's the Spike I know.
That is the Spike I know. Men are so delicate. Now, she says again that, you know, he's not just a ghost. He's more than a ghost. She's never seen anything like him. And Spike is like, oh, I bet you say that to all the spirits around here. And he's doing some flirting, which we're going to talk about a little bit later when the shoe drops on that. I'm unhappy.
Do you want to talk about it now?
Yeah, it's fair to talk about it now. So, like, later, like, Fred is like, oh, do you think I'm stupid? I know he's flirting with me to, like, gain sympathy and stuff like that. What? I have not been perceiving him as, like, flirting with her more than he flirts with every single person he speaks to.
Well, it's definitely in this episode he is. And it's where I realize, like, I put this in my notes. Fred's role as the help for Spike makes more sense if it's Cordelia, especially mm-hmm. Angel's frustrations with that help.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flirtation would also make sense because he's trying to piss off Angel.
Yeah, it just, it doesn't feel,
but
like,
you know.
it doesn't connect. Yeah, you're right.
But Fred's the girl one now, so here it is.
Well, it's Smurfette, and therefore, you know, Angel as the boss boy has patriarchal ownership over Fred. So if Spike's hitting on her, that's his woman, even if he would never kiss her. Very cool. I hate it. I hate it. It makes me so mad. It doesn't seem authentic to who Spike is or who Fred is. And I think that I'm looking for the place in my notes where I wrote about this, which I fucking hate. Later, when Angel is lecturing Fred in his office and, like, Eve is sitting right behind him because they're best friends now, he is like, you know, Fred, you're just falling for Spike's whole thing, you know, his flirty stuff. And that's bullshit because Fred is not an idiot. And she is like, what do you think I am, an idiot, is her response to this. But I think that this show, because in this first three episodes, whatever connection exists between Spike and Fred is so underwritten and underexplained and really kind of fucking phoned in, which is shitty for two of your most charming actors to not actually write good material of the two of them sparking together. And it's because it wants to leave room for there to be the uncharitable, like, version of events that Fred is just being fooled by Spike because he's a pretty face. And I hate that. I think it's selling everyone out.
Yeah, it's because they're two of your most charming actors that you're like, well, I can just, you know, underwrite them. They'll figure it out.
And I'm like, how dare you? I want to see, like, Spike and Fred are finally together. What is the center of that Venn diagram? And give it to me. You know, like, what do they agree on? What do they talk about?
Tacos.
How do they get along? And I feel like it's barely been observed, you know?
What if they shared a love of tacos?
Oh, if Spike gets his body back, Fred better take him on a big food tour of Los Angeles. That's what I want for them.
He shows her the blooming onion. She shows him the tacos. Not a euphemism. Oh,
wait, the two of them actually, like, going to Outback together a bunch? Good. Good, yeah. To me.
See, we want it to be good. We're fixing it. Yeah. Right now, we're fixing it in post. Many, many years in post.
Yeah, there's still time. Call everyone up. Give them a week and a little ADR. You let us mess with these cuts. We'll fix it. No problem.
So, yeah, honestly, we shouldn't have to, like, does she know he's, like, does she have a thing for Spike or whatever? She should just, like, tell him to cut the shit already. Like, she did with his, like, fake Wes backstory.
Yeah, it's just, like, very weird. Mm-hmm. She scans him again. His spectral temperature dropped, you know, 0.2 degrees, which means that things are getting worse. You know, he's becoming a colder spot as a ghost. But Fred's like, no, I'm working on a theory. It's okay. And, you know, she's like, you'll be. And he's like, oh, you're going to make me a real boy again. And she's like, as real as any vampire with a soul, you know, like Angel, minus the whole Shanshu thing.
Well, she says the Shanshuha something or other. Does Fred just not listen when it comes to, like, the mythology of Angel and their whole crew? She had no idea who Spike was. She barely knows anything about Shanshu, apparently.
I guess what we're learning is Fred is a lot ruder than we thought she was. So she doesn't listen to shit.
Angel being a shitty friend to her is actually earned because this is the kind of friend she is to him.
She's a shitty friend right back. So, Luke, what we're learning is that we should hate all of these people.
Hey, Gunn and Wesley are actually being great friends in this episode.
I know. I was very happy with them. they're cute as all heck. So this Shanshu segue is so awkwardly shoehorned into here. But I guess I'm somewhat like this dynamic that we're setting up. Spike's problem with Angel is that he has everything too easy. It's wild, but you understand why he can think that based on how Angel is behaving right now. And I think the way that Angel is behaving right now is infuriating and bad for the show.
We'll talk more about it in their scene, because I wrote some stuff down for that. And it's just, wow, they really get into the Shanshu stuff, like, faster than they've ever, like, addressed things like the fact that Faith was the active slayer and Buffy wasn't.
Yep. So Spike seems all jealous when he hears about the Shanshu prophecy, and that's important to clock for later in the episode.
Yeah, she's like, it says that if Angel helps enough people, he'll get to be human again. It's like, it also, like, it says, though, that he has a part to play in the apocalypse, and the whole thing is that Wolfman Hart's like, it doesn't say which part, good or evil, so it's not actually like, yay.
Yeah, but it's pretty grim.
Apparently Fred knows nothing about it, because she's a terrible friend.
Apparently Fred doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, if he turns evil, I'll stick him immediately. And not in the way he wants, just because I want you. I'm a bad friend. I'm sorry,
Fred,
I love Fred, but
come on, baby girl.
There was no reason for her to explain it like that.
No, there was not. So Fred is a brain blast, and Spike jokes that, you know, maybe there is a hug in her future after all, because, you know, he's going to have a body again.
This is where I wrote no caps, enough. I was already done with
so
it.
So fair. See, I write in my notes, I see Marsters like trying to bring the emotion, because I don't think the hug is just like a flirty thing. Like, I also think it's like a touch starved, like, I actually like do feel a deep well of gratitude towards you and would love to, you know, be able to celebrate this point of my life being over and me getting to be around you, because I've come to like you. Because I can see Marsters is like trying to summon up the like big charming well of emotion that he is, you know, always able to summon. But it's just like he and Fred aren't friends. As cute as the two of them are, there's the stakes here feel so, so wonky because they don't mean anything to each other. What could they possibly mean to each other?
Because, you know, these are established characters, established shows, there's no way that these two actors had a chemistry test. And I think maybe they should have.
It's not just like as simple as like looking, because I don't think that Fred wants to flirt with Spike. Like, I don't think, like, that's not how you get to Fred's heart, by like trying to fuck her. her heart by
feeding her,
giving her good diner food.
Yeah. Oh, then he's gonna try that when he's corporeal. He's like, oh, it's on.
Oh god. So anyways, I write in my notes, the stakes feel very wonky. Spike falls through the floor and into the basement
deep down,
and the spookiness begins.
Of course, I watched this with subtitles, so it says brackets, ripping, chopping, and then I read my notes in parentheses, I did all I could to avoid watching this episode. This is the thing that like really fucks me up, actually, and of course the first thing.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, self-mutilation is very hard to watch. It goes against all of your natural instincts, so of course it should feel very bad.
Spoken
to see
like a dang
witness.
Ass freak who clearly loved it. I can see it in your eyes.
So Spike basically stumbles upon, in my notes I write, Spike stumbles upon a gentleman cutting his dang fingies off, and then a sub bullet point that says in all caps, sorry Latoya, this is cool.
And now
this guy's sawing his fingers off.
The reason I'm facepalming is because you've ruined me and broken my brain. My notes are, this motherfucker is chopping off his own fingies.
Yes!
Great, you went high-pitched again, heard nothing.
Yay! I'm so happy.
I'm furious. So upset.
So Spike, like, goes up to this guy and is like, hey, dude, you chopping off your fingies? And he turns around and his face is all sliced up. And I think even like his lips are cut off. Like, it's real messed up, and it's just for a second. And then poof, he's gone. Yeah.
It's not for me.
It's really spooky.
It's not for me.
Steve DeKnight loves gore. He loves violence.
Yeah.
And I love him for that.
He had to do it to him, and I'm
You are them for this period. Oh my God, it's so cool. All I can think of is like, you know, Drew Goddard wrote the pilot to Daredevil, and then for the first season, like Steve DeKnight took over the show, and I was watching it, and I remember that first watch through, I was kind of like, okay, where are the seams? You know, I know that Goddard wrote some of the stuff for later stuff, and some of it's Steve DeKnight. You know, will I be able to tell whose writing is whose and stuff like that? And then Kingpin kills a guy by shoving his head in a car door and slamming it over and over and over again. And I was like, that's my boy, Steve DeKnight. I was like, that's my friend.
Jesus.
God, I love Spartacus.
True would never do that to us.
Treat yourself if you like seeing naked boys. We go to titles. We come back from titles. We're in the Wolfram and Hart hallway. We see Lorne for 1 second. Get that check, Andy Hallett.
Just put all the Lorne stuff that doesn't seem to make sense, but is around so far this season in your Shanshu prophecies, I guess.
Yeah, he seems to be like talking some starlet off the ledge about like the billing he's going to get her. And he's telling her to put down the pills and everything, which just like given all of this like Hollywood inside baseball talk that's been in these couple of episodes, knowing that this show environment was, you know, maybe less than ideal, makes none of that funny to me. You know, like, I don't think it's funny that a lot of female actresses struggle so much under the pressure of fame that they have to turn to drugs to numb the pain. That is, to me, not hilarious.
Yeah, because this actress is crying about gaining weight, so.
Yeah.
And
I just hate it.
I do want to know who's it supposed to be, because they're getting second mm-hmm. billing right after Gwyneth.
Yeah. For what? Who's the second female lead in Shakespeare in Love? That's before this, right?
Judi Dench.
It's Judi Dench.
I was going to say it's Christina Applegate. This is for A View from the Top.
Perfect. So he and Fred have a little cross. Neither of them acknowledge each other. And Fred is headed into Wes's office. Again, like, nice to see the geography of Wolfram and Hart. This is another big episode for that. Like, this is a bottle episode, pretty much. Like, I mean, I guess the basement is probably new, isn't a bottle episode.
But it is all at Wolfram and Hart, I guess, so.
But it's all Wolfram and Hart, which I love. And I like feeling like you get a real sense of the place here. And like Steve DeKnight's having fun.
Wolfram and Hart, like all after hours, actually.
Yeah, which is cool. It's like one late night here, which I dig. So Fred goes into Wes's office. She drops a list on his desk and is like, I need all this ASAP. To which Wes is like, hello, Wesley. Nice to see you. And I'm swooning. I am there. What? Alexis is looking good. He is looking very good. I was absolutely weak in the knees for this scene, which, like, who am I?
We like Wesley.
I do love Wes.
Yeah. And she's like, I need this stuff pronto. And he's like, it's all like really rare shit. And it's like, well, since they've been here a month and he used every connection he has, he's gonna get it all in 20 minutes. Oh, Wes, you little stinker.
And she loves it. Like, she like laughs and smiles.
It's like, he'll do this under one condition, dinner, but not in the creepy season 4 way, in the way he's like, go eat, please. I'm begging you.
I wrote in my notes, me and Fred both think he's pulling incel shit again, but he's not. He just wants her to eat and sleep. I am weak, weak, weak. We do also learn,
I was gonna say,
which
wait,
I didn't know. Oh, yeah.
Season 5 is a world in which Fred's not eating. This is not my beautiful Fred.
I don't know this girl. She's a bad friend and she never eats. Who is this?
This is killer.
That's
the
girl.
One you kill.
That's the one you shoot. I do like, I didn't remember hearing it before, but Wes's technical title is that he's the head of research and intelligence now, which I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Did he take over intelligence from the zealots?
Take me to dinner on that salary. So Fred is like, I'm totally fine, though. Like, it's so, like, nice of you to be worried about me, but I'm totally fine. And then she turns around and finds herself face to face with Eve and screams.
As we all would. And I'm like, I don't think Amy Acker's a good screamer. Because the first one was fake. This one wasn't fake. It's bad.
Not a scream queen, which is allowed, you know? Not everyone can. We can't all do everything.
We can't all be Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, one of the best screams in the biz, which again is why it's so ridiculous they dubbed her in Hush.
With a ridiculous sound.
Horrible. So in Angel's office, Angel with Eve just over his shoulder, that's normal, ew, right? Tries to do like a boss lecture, and Fred's like, oh, no worries. Like, I've already been told. I'm going to eat and sleep. I promise.
Sorry, Angel's not your friend. Angel, first of all, Angel would never tell her to do that.
Never.
Even before this. Like, he would tell Cordelia to do that. Fred, she's off to her own devices.
Yeah. He doesn't get it. He doesn't know what she needs.
He assumes Gunn or Wes is taking care of that with her.
Yeah, probably both.
He's still not sure.
He doesn't get involved.
He's still not sure.
He's really worried.
Dated.
He's like, if I get involved, they're both going to feel really threatened. And then it's going to cause like a really problematic group dynamic. Like, you know, like I think Angel has like old fashioned man stuff and is like, as the alpha, if I go sniffing around, you know, those two, they're fighting over her constantly. They're going to have a real field day with that. A goof. So Fred is like, no, I'm fine. And he's like, oh, this isn't about that. I don't care about you and I'm not your friend. I'm wearing a blue shirt now. I'm a different guy.
Jeez, Morgan.
I'm mad about this. She's 800K over her quarterly budget is what
you're,
Eve says.
You're mad about Angel. Specifically, I'm mad about Eve calling Fred sweetie. Don't do that. I'm like, actually, I'm fine with this scene, except for when Eve interjects and reminds me she's in this scene.
Mm-hmm. She is like, but I'm doing something that's never been done before. I'm trying to recorporealize Spike. And Angel's like, but I told you to get rid of him. This is where Fred is like, but he's Spike. Like, he's a vampire with a soul, a champion, someone who's saved the world like you. And Angel's like, oh, I'm starting to hate that word. And I'm like, who are you? Fred's argument is that this is worth the money because if they can get Spike back, he'd be a huge asset to their team. Like, another person as strong as Angel who could fight like him, like, that is a big deal.
Yeah. Angel says, except he won't be. He says he knows Spike better than anyone, and he only cares about himself. The thing is, if you've only watched these episodes of Angel or only seen Spike in the context of the show, like, of all of Spike's episodes of the show, you would have to agree with Angel.
Of course. Yeah. Like, I fully agree. Like, if you are only watching Angel, that is what it appears to be, which I think is a huge disservice.
Yes.
To, like, Marsters, is a huge disservice to Spike. And it just makes it so that if you've watched everything, you're annoyed with Angel. Which I think is a shitty thing. Like, that's selling out your protagonist and making them look stupid, which I think is not what you want to do. But this is where Fred brings it up. She says it, the B word. He cares about himself and Buffy. And Angel is like, yeah, he does care about Buffy. He'll probably leave us and run off to her the second he's better again. Do you ever think of that?
I mean, he did say that, basically.
Yeah, he would. I don't disagree. This is where they're like, oh, you're falling for his whole flirting thing. And this is where I write, what the fuck is up with Angel? Like, shouldn't he want to defy Eve and Wolfram and Hart? Like, all of this seems like it's coming from her and him and the senior partners and shit like that. Angel is doing exactly what is being asked of him and not questioning that at all. Like, Spike is a valuable asset that will tip the scales in good's favor in the huge battle between good and evil that is Angel's entire life's purpose.
I mean, well, it would if Spike had behaved like Spike up until like halfway through this episode.
like it, but it's also not like Angel's given him a chance to do that either. And I really don't like this. This is where Fred's like, I'm not stupid. I know I'm being played.
Yeah. I don't like her saying she's, like, not some idiot schoolgirl with a crush, because, like, I don't think that when she had her thing for Angel, I didn't think she was an idiot schoolgirl with a crush. So, like, that seems like they're hearkening back to it. I'm like, no?
That's never been her. Like, she trauma bonded to the person who rescued her.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, wanted him to save her from everything because she was hopeful that her recovery could be that easy because, you know, getting over really hard stuff is really hard. I don't think that makes her an idiot. And I don't appreciate that Eve and Angel are implying that. Like, Eve, whatever. I don't give a fuck what she thinks. She sucks. But, like, Angel should know better. It really just, like, it. I think it hurts him. And, Fred is like, this is about what's doing what's right. Do you remember that? And the fact that I do think it's valid for her to be asking Angel that is wild. Like, we've been doing this for so long. How have we still gotten to the point where Angel's like, I don't even know about the mission? Like,
I will say later, and again, I think the scene, the Angel Spike scene in his, like, penthouse is, like, the turning point. And I think it kind of contextualizes a lot of Angel's behavior, and we'll talk more about that there.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Angel says, you know, it's your department, it's your call, but, you know, some people can't be saved.
Which I would say completely goes against Angel's ethos, obviously, with, you know, the faith and all of it all, Darlin' season two. But, like, he ended up feeling that way about Lindsay for the most part. Like, he couldn't be saved. Like, he felt like he gave him a choice, and he chose wrong, even though then he left because of his evil hand, but, like, not because he became a good guy and wanted to help the helpless.
Yeah. But this is just where I write in my notes in big all cap letters. This company secretly gave you a taste for your son, your infant son's blood. How fucking dumb are you?
I'm going to bring up the blood later. I've been re-listening to our podcast. I just finished season three.
Oh, God,
that was
good.
So fucked up. The blood part was so fucked up.
So fucked up. I loved it. Our next scene takes place in the lab. Spike is looking at Fred's research, and he hears some weird sounds.
Yeah,
he sees a flickering light.
He's alone, and he calls Fred fetching, which I'm like, he's calling her fetching when she's not around. So, like, does he really care for her? It's like a real what's their deal energy for me.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, I do think he likes her.
Who doesn't?
I'm just confused. I'm very, very confused. It doesn't feel clear, and it feels like they're like, we don't need to be clear. We're doing so great. And I'm like, no, you could stand to be a little clear. So Spike is like, I'm not scared of this shit. Like, I'm not going to follow the flickering lights. He does. They lead him down a spooky path with spooky sounds, and a lady in a bonnet asks Spike to hold her and warns him that it's coming. Our next scene's in Angel's apartment. Spike is there waiting when he gets home, and he's like, I thought we could hang out. And Angel's like, Jesus, like, I'm off the fucking clock.
He's got blood in a decanter.
Okay, Damon Salvatore. Angel says to him, you can feel it. How close you are to hell, right? And Spike is like, I don't know, you escaped, so I'm not that scared of it.
Yeah, this is where Angel says that he didn't escape from hell. He just got a short reprieve, and he's not sure how he managed it. And I guess, like, they never actually say it, but, like, it was the powers. It was the powers that be, is the thing. Mm-hmm. They do things occasionally.
Yeah. So this is where I wrote my big angry essay, because I write, both me and Spike think he's being a whiny little bitch. So here's my big word salad dump.
Hoaxy, I don't think Angel's being a whiny little bitch, but I think he has reasons for his mentality. I think it sucks, but he does have his reasons. So let's go.
Okay. So I say, obviously, Angel's in a bad place. He alone bears the memory of season four of Angel. I would be pissed, too.
Well, he has the Connor memories that they don't have. I don't know what they're remembering. I don't know. Wesley remembers on a boat with Justine.
I don't know what is remembered anymore. So he lost Connor, he lost Cordelia, and now he works for the bad guys. But he's doing nothing. And I know it's not in his nature to share. Cordy was a great modifier for him as a character because she always forced him to talk and poked holes in his patriarchal, puritanical vampire bullshit. And now he just gets away with all of his worst impulses scot-free. That's not what this show has ever been about. It's about the torturously slow and rarely rewarding mission to find and save the good in this awful world. I love Angel because he'd rather read a book alone in the dark, but his friends force him to participate in life, to, like, fake humanity until he shanshoes, because he wants to shed this bullshit vampiric skin and be someone else. It's just hard. That's how this show is when it's good and works, and now it's like, eh, he's grumpy. He's just kind of going along with it.
I mean, those should be the promos.
That infuriates me.
Angel's grumpy. Wah, wah, wah.
And he's going along with it. That's
now it's
my
good.
Big thing. Is this is all of the stuff that I want, and it feels like it's gone and it's missing. And Angel's not in, well, he's in a shitty place and not an enviable place. It's not making him do anything. Well, and that's boring to me.
What do you think about the part where it is Spike saying, you know, Angel has to pile up all his good deeds and get the big brass ring handed to him, just like everything else? Because literally, I just listed a bunch of ways he does not get things handed to him. It's like,
yeah,
obviously, Spike's always been anti-Angel, even just because of the Buffy stuff. But like, to believe Angel's had an easy life is insane.
Ridiculous.
To me. Not even knowing about the Connor stuff or the I Remember You stuff. I mean, dude ate rats. Dude can't fuck.
Yeah.
Dude had the gem of Amara that Spike was obsessed with getting, and he destroyed it for the betterment of the world.
Huge. Yeah, it is ridiculous. And also, you know, obviously, like, Angel does not make the case for himself because he doesn't care about Spike. But the thing is, like, there used to be someone around that would force him to talk. And now, without that person, I find his character so much less interesting because he's just, like, completely opaque to me. And he's rarely, if ever, doing anything that gives you insight into how he actually feels.
It would be Lorne, but Lorne's off in his own little world.
Yeah.
He might as well be in Viva Lorne Vegas right now.
Yeah. Might as well be.
Angel saying all the prophecies are bull, they all are. Which is funny because they're not.
Hey, so the father did kill the son.
Yeah, the father will kill the son was like, it was faked by Sanjan, but still it happened. And then he had to like fix things. And also, even if you are ignoring that, the prophecy, like the interpretation of the prophecy from the little burger guy was that he will consume his son, or like devour his son, which he did when he drank his blood.
Yep.
Also, the Troclon, which is the confluence of events that would bring either the ruination or purification of mankind, that's literally Jasmine. She was both of those things. They all happened, Angel's a thing. I know you're sad, but they all happened.
Yeah, so it's just, it's annoying that, like, no one's in the position to say that to him. And, like, no one's in the position to have that fight with him. Like, I am just sick of watching him wallow like this and just not move forward. And it feels like the most interesting thing to do to your character is force them to do all the stuff they don't want to do. And instead, Angel is just, like, doing exactly what he wants, which is burying himself in work and not having to actually, like, do the hard stuff anymore.
Yeah, because it's like, Spike could possibly be the person to make him open up, but they're going with his, like, jealousy and thinking, like, since Angel's not giving him the time to, like, just snap at him and be like, and here's why you're wrong.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening. Again, Lauren disappeared, so he can't be the one, like, he was when Angel was beige.
And Team Angel isn't friends anymore, so no one's talking. And it just really, really bothers me. Angel
says, obviously he should talk to Eve.
Yeah,
no,
talk to Eve.
Never.
He loves.
God, I saw a guest starring Sarah Thompson, and I was like, ugh.
even talk to the werewolf. Talk to Nina. Talk to someone.
Don't say that. Don't say talk to Nina. Don't bring that evil into this house.
I'm just begging. If it would get him to talk, I'd take Nina back.
Talk to Nina's blonde family.
Talk to Nina's blonde niece.
Aunt Nina. Someone,
you know. Aunt Nina, I'm coming upstairs. So, Angel says, nothing we do matters. You know, we're both going to hell, like, once we're done. So, like, who gives a shit?
But he does say, what else are we going to do in terms of actually doing the work? So he's not, like, saying, I'm giving up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
until then, you know, what else do you do? And Spike says, well, at least I have company. And then this is where they kind of start to bitch about the old times, which I enjoy.
They get to the actual root of their issues, which it shouldn't be the jealousy bullshit. Well, it can be jealousy, but not like in the way that Spike's doing it. Angel has it all. What? Because his thing was about like
Liam.
How Angelus was like always such a fucking boss and like had to tell him what to do all the time. And then and Angel's like, you never fucking listened.
Yeah.
Remember. Darla possibly could have convinced the Romani to undo the curse, but Spike ate the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Great job. Good job, guy.
She was promising protection of your clan. He ate the rest of the clan.
He did cause a lot of problems. I love, he's like, I've never cared for you, Liam. That made me scream.
He's like, I just don't like you fundamentally as a person. That's what he said.
Yep. And I just dig it. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. Like, now we're talking about it. Now this is productive, finally. Like, Jesus, men don't know how to fight.
They should have, like, a Wolfenheart therapist, and the guys should have to be forced to go to them. And
like
that should
Billions.
Be the show.
Yes. Like Paul Giamatti's hot dominatrix wife in Billions.
Yes, who, like Maggie Ziff in Billions.
Every single therapy session they show her in, she's like, the stocks are in your balls and you just need to
How
come
much Billions
out
have
all
you watched?
Over on the computer. A full season. I hated it.
I watched like the first two seasons. Yeah. Like, I'm aware of Billions. I'm like, I didn't know you were aware of Billions.
Yeah, I tried the whole first season of Billions. It was the worst. And every single one of her therapy sessions was like, you need to fuck, don't you? Like, her talking to all of the traitors. And I was like, this isn't therapy. So I think I would like Wolfram and Hart to have a better therapist than the Billions therapist.
Exactly the same. Just telling Angel to fuck. He's like, well, really?
Actually, that's pretty counterproductive to my whole deal.
And Spike can't do either because he's not corporeal. So, but it's her advice for everything.
Her advice is very shitty for the two of them. But
Angel liked his poems because, of course, Angel likes Barry Manilow.
It's true. So then I submit we must play the clip.
Never much cared for you, Liam. Even when we were evil.
Cared for you less?
Fine.
Good. There was one thing about you.
Really?
Yeah, I never told anybody about this, but I liked your poems.
You like Barry Manilow.
I love this so much. Angel tries to give him one thing. I liked your poems. And that Spike is like, I hate you so much. And like your bullshit taste in art, that's an insult to me, guy.
And it's like, Angel's like, I will never compliment you again.
Now that is a conflict with some shading that like I'm interested in.
And as I wrote in my notes, like this scene is basically the turning point for Spike, I think, now after what we've had to deal with.
Yeah,
he's Spike
feels
again.
Like himself again. Yeah. Steve knows. Steve tonight knows.
He's like, him again.
I remember Spike.
He's AK William Bloody, that's for sure.
Do you think he's been being AK William Bloody for the first couple episodes of this season and now he's finally Spike again?
No, he's AKA William the Bloody. He got the rest of the letters.
Unreal. And then Spike sees a guy's hanging from the rafters and Angel cannot see it. And it is freaking Spike the fuck out.
And I do like this because at first Spike's like, nothing, he didn't see anything. And then he sees it again. He's like, okay, I will tell you, actually.
Mm-hmm. which I like. So we go to the, like, the Wolfram and Hart lobby. Spike is seeing spooky guys everywhere. No one can see what he is seeing. They did a sweep. They had their mystics do a sweep, and there's no spectral intruders in the building, according to the Wolfram and Hart mystics. But these voices are saying to Spike, it's coming. It's here. That's not what you want to be hearing.
Mm-hmm. And then he phases out again, but mm-hmm. now it's different than what we see, because he can see them, but they can't see him.
Yeah, and he's phasing out just as he begs Fred to use her perfect brain to help him, which I found cute.
Guess what? It's everyone's perfect brain that helps them.
Yeah, idiot. Yeah, that's the problem, is that he should have been soliciting all of Team Angel's help, not just the help of the nicest person on Team Angel.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
So Spike is, you know, like yelling after them. They're going off looking for him and looking for an answer. And a spooky voice tells Spike that no one can help him. So we go to commercial. We come back. Spike is annoyed as fuck. He's, you know, walking through Wolfram and Hart, searching for, you know, the voices or the spooks or whatever.
Walking through this big ass set.
Mm-hmm. The flickering lights lead him to an elevator, and he's like, "Oh,
with the
haunted lift."
Yeah. the light arrow pointing down. It's a elevator.
Cute.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think there's a lot of good Spike talking to himself stuff. I think as a writer personally, I find characters talking to themselves very hard to write authentically and to not make it seem forced. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Spike's, like, all of Spike's stuff, like, you know, this isn't going to get me exactly. All very good. Again, I'm like, this is the guy I know. How crazy it is to see him here.
Yeah, there was just a How Did This Get Made in the movie they were watching. This girl just started talking to herself going, like, eat in my salad. Like, what the hell? It was so random. Yeah.
God, wish I could write something that good, but
eating my salad.
Eating my salad. So in Angel's office, or someone's office, Fred, Gunn, and
they're in Wes's office. Yeah,
they're in Wes's office. I cannot tell the difference between any of their offices because they all look exactly the fucking same.
I just know Wes's office because we were in Wes's office before.
Cute.
Like, yeah.
So we're in Wes's office. We're chatting. This is where Gunn reveals that Spike comes up to him in the bathroom and makes comments about his dick all the time. HR, Where is HR?
Yes, we decided before the recording that Spike is clearly jealous of Gunn. So he does this to assert his masculinity.
Obviously. So Fred is like, no, like this is something different is going on this time that he's disappeared. Like, this is really worrying. And Wes and Gunn are not buying it. They both are like, I don't know, like Spike seems like he's just going crazy. Like, and he's headed to hell. So why wouldn't he be going crazy? Like, it all fits together. I don't think there's anything else going on here. And Fred is like, you don't understand. He's going to hell. And this made me laugh
saying,
so hard.
Duh.
They're like, yeah, where else would he fucking be going?
They basically like shoulder stick her into a locker. It's like, of course.
Yeah, they're like, okay, nerd. Yeah, we fucking know. We just don't care.
Also, Gunn is able to just spout out legal stuff without even thinking about it. It just clicks on, he says. Is that good?
Sounds worrying. No, it doesn't sound good to me. The thing that the evil people put in your brain just turns on sometimes. Doesn't sound good to me, but no one's worried.
They didn't do anything to him. It's fine. The pained look on Morgan's face.
So upset. So then in the spooky basement, ding goes the elevator. Spike
Subtitles.
Hears the chopping.
Cutting continues.
Yeah,
great.
He hears the chop, 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 but there's no one at the table. Just the leftover fingies that are twitching. Love it.
Nope.
Love it. A lady with glass shoved in her eye.
Don't care for
shows
it.
Shows up. She starts singing, which I honestly found a little cliche, that the Reaper is going to take him. I was like, I don't need her to sing.
It was basically the gentleman song, like, tactic two, honestly.
Yeah, like, very, like, Nightmare on Elm Street, you know? And I was like, she says, it hurts. She takes the glass out of her eye, and she gives Spike a slice. And when we see his face, there's a chunk taken out. Like, it really cut him. And a voice calls him William and says they haven't forgotten about him. Uh-oh. Then in the lab, Fred does her calculations. Spike shows up. You know, she can't see him. And he's like, look, I get it now. What I'm seeing is the welcoming party, you know, for hell. He thanks her for her help, even though she can't hear him, which I found endearing and sweet. And again, the Spike I know, who cares about people, and who I also think when he sees vulnerability, always like usually honors it, you know? Like if someone is sweet or making an effort like around him, that tends to matter to him, you know? Like he's a softie. He wrote poems.
Yeah, that Angel really liked, but he didn't accept that.
Yeah, apparently just because Angel also likes Barry Manilow, he has bad taste.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's why he likes Spike's poems.
I really like their crosstalk and like the way this scene feels. Like, honestly, like this was where I was like, oh, the chemistry's kind of kicking in. Like, I really like Spike gets kind of soft.
I wanted to thank you, Pet. How you tried to help. I want to tell you what that meant to me before I.
Damn, I'm good.
You are?
Freaking genius. Just cancel out the radical.
Thought you had me, didn't you?
Which causes a feedback wave that liquefies half of Los Angeles.
What?
Ugh! I'll never figure this out.
Yes, you will. Genius, remember? Don't throw in now, Fred. Please.
Spike grabs her because she's talking bad about herself, and he won't hear it. And that's where I'm like, okay, you do really love Fred because I'm constantly feeling this way. And he tries to grab her to shake her just like reflexively to be like, stop saying bad stuff about yourself. You are good. And she actually feels it.
Ooh.
Ah, yay. I like that. I like that Spike believes in her. I'm not sure it's motivated why, because I don't think he understands science enough to know that she's smart. but okay.
I can't imagine him wanting to hang around so much. Because, like, I wrote literally in my notes at a certain point, science, science, science. Because, like,
absolutely.
Just no idea.
Yeah, I don't know that shit. So she feels him and she asks for, like, a sign that he's there. And instead, Angel is just lurking behind her and scares the shit out of her. She's like, that needs to stop happening.
The lights are out. Well, stop being there. Go to sleep. Go home. Eat some tacos.
Stop working at a scary place, babe. So Angel's like, the mystics didn't find anything. Like, there are no spirits here. Fred is like, that's not acceptable as an answer. We have to find a way to contact him. Cut to... It's seance o'clock, baby. We got a hot seance lady.
Yeah, we do.
Does she have a name?
Claire the Medium. I looked it up on IMDb.
Claire the Medium. Why don't you give me a call, Claire the Medium? Charles Gunn and I both feel the same way. Like, he's like, oh, shit, when she walks in. I love it. She's very mean to everyone. I write in my notes, please kiss me.
She's a regular Prue Hallowell.
Yeah. She can feel pain. And it must be Spike's. Like, Spike shows up and she's like, I feel pain and suffering. And he's like, okay, shut up. Shut up about all the pain. Like, I don't want them to hear about that. Like, that also felt like Spike to me again, where he's like, yeah, we all get it. Like, I'm an open wound and a raw nerve. And I'm constantly in agony and forcing that on everyone. But you don't have to say it. I love you, buddy. She says, it's coming. Dark soul. It's here.
Yeah. Good thing apparently the dark soul is something you can look up in a book.
I guess. And Spike is like, it's the Reaper. Tell him it's the Reaper. And then she starts choking. And they all think Spike is choking her. Oh. Which later they're like, that doesn't make any sense. Actually, I'm like, yeah, it made no sense when you said it.
Angel said it, though. Angel specifically is the one who's thinking this. And he's like, Spike, stop it. Which Spike says, it's not me, you get it.
Yeah. Good. Not enough use of the word get. Let's hear more of it. I really like it.
Oh, God, you're going to start calling people gits.
No, I know that I can't.
Gits and chids.
I'm not cool and British enough. It's a chid, for sure. She gets choked and then she like spits blood and it seems like her head blows up. We don't see this obviously because it's the WB, but later Gunn is like, she went all scanners on us. And I'm like, oh, okay, you're still in there, baby.
Yeah, he's still a cinephile.
Still my dweeb, I write in my notes. Wes thinks she contacted something much worse than Spike because he's like, it doesn't make sense that Spike would do that. That wasn't him. She was talking to something else and something we should be worried about.
A.K. William head explodey?
More like. So then we get more spooky voyeuristic camera in the lab. The lab which has a shower. I was like, watch yourself, counselor. I was banging my gavel in this scene.
Labs do have showers, but not like showers.
Yeah, like huge, nice steam ones.
I wasn't a fan of seeing this blurry version of her whole body. I mean, I know it's horror and also Amy Acker cat sound, but no.
Yes. Yeah. It's not that she's not cute and stuff. I don't feel good about this. I was like, don't do it. And like the shower is a horror staple because it is an inherently vulnerable place to be. Like, you know, you're at your most like undefended, but still like I was worried. I think overall, I ultimately like at the end, I was like, I'll allow it. But watch yourself, counselor.
I am realizing
my ultimate verdict
now, though, watching like talking about this, that both this and Smallville had some like some risqueness because one of the dreams in slumber is Clark and Lana skinny dipping. And like in like deleted scenes or whatever, like Tom Welling is nude and he jumped into that water.
Ooh.
It's like Kristen Krug had a body double, but Tom Welling did not.
Okay, what a sexy, sexy night on the WB.
I remember seeing screen caps from the full version of that as a teenager.
Wow. Congrats. I'm happy for you that that kind of behind the scenes content existed.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Fred is taking the shower. I write a sad face in my notes. Spike is just there watching, but I'm like, at least he can only see the vague outline of WB safe that we're seeing. So I guess I'm not mad.
I also, like, my notes is Spike's creepy ass is there, but it's funny how non-sexual that is.
Yeah, like, he's not at all leering. Like, he really is very casual. So I guess he's not there to be creepy. He's there to communicate.
Yeah, he's there to do business.
He doesn't seem to be looking, which I, of course, denote with the eye emoji. But he's like, he wonders why, why would you hurt the seance lady? Like, why would whatever thing we're being scared of, why would they hurt Claire?
If it's
medium?
The Reaper, why would it do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, he's like, okay. He's speaking aloud to himself again in a way that does feel motivated. He's like, well, then the medium must have threatened him in some way. And he killed her to hide something. And this is when he realizes he reaches through the shower and then it leaves a fingerprint. And he's like, oh, holy shit. If he can really focus and want it enough, he can trace some letters on what my mermaid friends might call the condensation. Nar.
Clear.
Clear. So, yeah, he can trace like a little message
about that,
to her
everyone.
On the glass. You're my friend. You choose to be my friend. And that's very funny. I love it. He writes Reaper. Fred sees this. And it seems like the glass like shatters right after she sees it. Or there's a sound effect of it shattering.
I can't tell if it shatters for real or like in like the parallel plane that Spike's in.
I could not tell either.
I don't think it had to... was real because like wouldn't she be having like glass in her hair and shit?
Yeah, you only hear it shattering, which I was just like, well, I'm assuming we just don't see it shatter because, you know, it's expensive to shatter the glass there. But like, I guess maybe it doesn't. I was confused. But anyways, Spike is booted out of there. He's booted back to the basement. But now he felt something, you know, kick him there. So he's like, I can fight whatever this is. He's ready to fucking go. And I later write in my notes, Spike and punching is my OTP. Him not being able to be like a bruiser and hit stuff really harms his character. I love watching this boy punch. I was, because at certain points I was like, why do I even like him? Like in 2 and 3, it was so rough. And I was like, oh, right. I love to watch him punch.
He's a fun form.
He's a good boy. So all the spookies are back and he's like, I'm not talking to fucking flunkies. Like, I want to talk to the boss.
He's like, I don't want to do this Christmas Carol shit.
Fair enough. The Reaper shows up.
Yeah, he's here. The Ripper with his big Jack the Ripper energy.
Very big Jack the Ripper energy. He's going to play with Spike a little before he, starts his lifetime of suffering in hell.
Cool. And this actor is Simon Templeman, who's one of the stars of ABC's sitcom Neighbors. But he's also the fucking Angel of Death from Charmed.
That's why I recognize
him. Who we're about to talk about in Cole Turner Cast.
We are about to talk about God. Prue Halliwell fights the concept of death is such a funny episode.
It's basically this episode. And he's been married to Rosalind Chow, Dr. Kim from the OC, since 1989.
Aw, good for them.
Yeah.
That is cute. Our next scene takes place in Angel's office that we're all reading big dusty tomes. Angel is actually, if you search Dark Soul, a couple of the entries that you find are attributed to Angel. And he's like, this isn't fair.
I didn't even have a soul. It's like, how can you call me the Dark Soul when I didn't have a soul?
Really fair. Fred comes in, hair wet, and she says, look up Reaper. It came to me in the shower. And I'm like, why wouldn't you tell them that Spike can communicate? Like, that's helpful information.
She just wanted to quip.
And I'm like, all right, fair enough. Wordplay is fun. So they what they find is information on a guy named Pvane, but all I could think was P-Vane, a la T-Pane. Do I have your permission to call this character P-Vane?
Yes. I'm thinking of changing the lyrics to buy you a drink to apply to him, like, right now. So
I believe that by the end of this episode, you'll have a full parody written, and I'm excited for it. P-Vane was a spooky doctor who did unnecessary surgeries, and he was never caught. But reading between the lines, the gang figures out Wolfram and Hart killed him because they needed his blood. They killed him as a sacrifice because it turns out the Los Angeles branch is built on this patch of land, and what used to be there was a mission. So to demolish that mission, they needed to de-sanctify the ground by sacrificing somebody extremely evil there, and they picked P-Vane. I liked all of that stuff. All of that tracked for me. I liked that.
You're like, this is cool.
Yeah, I like it now. So in the lab, Spike's getting cut up. He's getting tortured. P-Vane is going to town on him. Fred walks in to do something, and P-Vane's checking her out, and he says all this stuff about her that I don't want to ever think about again. And Spike tries to hit him for it, but P-Vane is like, I make the rules here. Reality bends to my will. Blah, blah, blah. They're in the basement again, and he's like, what am I saying here?
P-Vane's basically Mysterio.
It really is very much like the Mysterio sequence in Far From Home. Absolutely right here. Spike suddenly in the basement. He's like, you think you know everything. You think you're not just your worst, like, dirty actions and impulses, but you're wrong. Hell waits for you, dude.
He says, dude, no.
He says, dude, yeah. To make Spike even more vulnerable, he magically strips all his clothes off, which, like, in my opinion, feels like a perfect time to go to a specific corner.
Kristen's Corner. Kristen's Corner. It's all Riley Dotson. What the fuck? If Cordy is hot, Kristen's Corner is the place for very deep thoughts.
Wow. Thank you so much for having me here in this corner, unsupervised. I'm just by myself. I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. And you've cued me to talk about naked men. How delightful. I have a couple of things to say. None of them are that intelligent, but I don't have to be intelligent. I just have to be fun. Naked Spike looks great, of course. Two things that really came to mind when I saw Naked Spike. One was, I would like to kiss him. And the other one was, this looks so similar to me to Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 3, episode 4, Beauty and the Beasts, when Angel falls naked, but he's coming back from hell. So I have a big question here, which is, do you have to be naked on your way to hell and on your way back from hell? Is that the situation? And if so, are you naked in hell the whole time? Is it every hell dimension or just some? Are there naked hell dimensions and clothed hell dimensions? These are questions I pose to you, the listeners, or Morgan and LaToya for discussion in the next episode. Another thing that I was thinking about, since you have asked me to think about naked men, is that I actually think that if I'm objectifying Angel and Spike, I prefer to look at a naked Angel more than I prefer to look at a naked Spike. However, if you ask me who I want to make out with more, it is Spike. So put that in your naked men pipe and smoke it. Also, before I leave you, something really important came up earlier in the discussion, which is the quality of screaming. This is something that I consider myself to be an expert on. I discuss horror screams at length in a podcast called Buffering the Vampire Slayer. I'm a huge fan of Wes Craven. I believe Patricia Arquette to be the champion among champions when it comes to horror screams. And Amy Acker's scream, I agree. It's whatever. I don't know that it was meant to be a horror scream. It was kind of more like a I'm afraid of this thing scream. So I'll give her a pass. But I'm not sure about Sarah Michelle Gellar, and I want to be pointed. I mean, I think she's good at screaming, but I'm not sure that she's a scream queen. And so I'm going to admit my vulnerability here, that I don't know that I have heard all of the screaming that Sarah Michelle Gellar has done. Perhaps I should revisit, you know, some of her horror films and see those and compare them and contrast them and decide once and for all if she is a scream queen. I'm not saying she's not. I'm just saying that based on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and my experience of her in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I think she's good, not great. Am I going to get fired? I also think that if we're speaking about folks in the Buffyverse, Michelle Trachtenberg is an incredible screamer. That, it's like, it's something about the pitch. It's something about the, listen, we can talk about this more. I'm taking up a lot of space in my corner and no one's here to make fun of me, correct me. LaToya and Morgan are not here to tell me that I am deeply incorrect, to make me watch a YouTube video and double back on myself. So who knows? I may have just gotten fired, but thanks for coming to my corner.
Thanks, Kristen.
Yeah. It's so weird to not have you here with us.
It's weird. We don't know what you said, but we thank you for it. And we endorse it fully.
I don't know about that. You never know with her.
You're right. We, you know, maybe.
She gets us canceled because we're like, we endorse this completely. She's like,
okay. We don't endorse it at all. Now you have footage for both, Kristen, and whichever one we want, you know, we can use.
I'm in love with the Reaper. I'm in love with the Reaper. There we go.
I like it. It turns out the ghosts are all like former victims, like of Wolfram and Hart, and they're in hell. And Spike says, they're not real, though. And then one of them stabs him in the back, and the Reaper's like, they're real enough. Yikes. In the lab, Fred's doing her equations yet again, and she thinks she has the solution.
I have to say, I laugh when Wes and Gunn came in. Wes sees her writing on the window. He's like, that's never good.
And she's like, oh, no, I just ran out of space. I'm fine. We don't have to worry about me.
And she said, I'm not crazy again. To which Gunn says, just scary smart. And I like, love that.
My loves. So Angel's plan is like, let's get Spike first and then we'll deal with the Reaper guy. Fred is like, we need some big evil energy for my plan to work. Like basically a nuclear bomb of evil. Wes pitches African volcano he knows of.
She does say nuclear though. And I'm like, is it just because Texas or what's happening here?
Maybe it is a Texas.
I don't think we should allow her to say that. They should have redone the take.
Yeah, do a new one. And Gunn's like, I know something a little closer to home. And he's talking about the White Room. He wants to go to the Big Cat.
Angel hasn't been there since Baby Panabaker was the conduit.
Yeah, and he's like, I did not like that creepy little girl. And Gunn's like, don't worry, she's gone.
Yeah, she's dead, remember?
So he's like, you know, the new guy's great as long as you like cats. And Angel's like, I'm more of a dog person.
Angel should get a puppy.
I screamed out loud, all's forgiven. Give Angel a puppy.
Angel, actually, don't you eat your puppy.
Angel does need an emotional support dog that will, like, remind him that life is worth living.
Aww.
I think that would be a really good thing for him, to have a little dog that he has to feed and take on walks.
Oh, no, I worry it will become a John Wick situation and he's not going to keep that dog because enemies.
Okay, I need that dog to be invincible. I need it to be like a super dog.
A vamp dog?
Yes, please.
Can you turn a dog into a vampire?
Little vampire dog?
This is terrible.
I actually love the concept of a tiny little vampire dog. I just want it to be like itty bitty. Like it's a vampire pug that Angel has to take care of.
He knows how to brood just like him.
I love it. He's just listen to his difficult little breaths going, why do you do those? You don't need to. So the Big Cat shows up. Gunn asks for help. the cat does not seem happy. And he's like, hey, be a good kitty. Who's a good kitty? I was so happy to hear that. And he's like, consider it a personal favor to me. Like, we need something of yours, like, you know, and it works. They come back with their weird little golden glass container full of something.
Oh, yes. Also, yeah, now we can do Fuck Watch.
Hell yes. Kitty.
Fuck Watch.
Hey, LaToya.
Yeah, Morgan.
Who are you fucking?
So I actually put in my notes, I don't think I've ever been less aroused watching this show. I did choose Claire the Medium, but like,
yes!
I honestly, I just, no sexual drive whatsoever watching this episode.
No, Claire the Medium moved the needle for me. That's who I have also picked. She has Pilates in the morning. So, you know, like,
well, she did have Pilates in the morning, not anymore. She's dead now.
Oh, rip. We got to bring her back. I love her. She was very hot and cool and mean. She burned bright and fast. And that's Fuckwatch. Then in the basement, we keep doing these like quick flashes of like pain and cuts for Spike. We see like barbed wire and shit. And yeah, that's not very Hellraiser to me, which I kind of liked.
Tell what the flashes were, and I'm like, I'm not gonna slow this down to figure it out.
No need. It felt very, very spooky and yeah, like a lot like Hellraiser, which I love. So P. Vane is like, I expected more out of you, dude. Maybe you have like too much of a conscience now. A spooky hell portal opens up, which I actually thought looked pretty good. Effects wise.
I'ma buy you a drink. Ooh wee. I'ma give you some blood. I'm still workshopping. I'm sorry. No.
I like it. The spooky hell portal is like made of like black smoke and has little tendrils that are reaching out. I thought that looked really cool. And we are explaining P. Vane is like, the soul that blesses you damns you to suffer forever. So like now that he actually like cares and has skin in the game, hell is going to be real rough for him.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm sleepy. It's 7 p.m. It's way past my bedtime, which is 5 p.m.
It's been dark for hours. if Spike goes, so I guess the deal is, like, P. Vane, he just, like, makes other ghosts take the bullet and go to hell for him, and he gets to stay here in this weird nether place he's carved out for himself. Spike agrees. He deserves to go to hell. But not today. Cute.
Sure, cute.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I want my fucking clothes back. And he's like you said, reality will bend to my will, right? If I want it enough, I can fucking have it. And I want my clothes back. And I want to punch you in the fucking face.
He doesn't want to be naked.
Good for him.
Since when? I've seen season 6 of Buffy. You want to be naked.
Loves not having a shirt on. He wants pants, though. So P. Vane punches him back, and the fight begins.
He should have given P. Vane a long-ass skirt. I'm never going to get over it. Skirt's so long.
It's very long. in the lab, it is time to do, you know, for Fred to use her gizmo. At the fight, Spike's getting his ass beat, but something happens because Fred has, you know, flipped her device's switch and Spike can punch again. And he is fighting. In the lab, Fred calls out to Spike, yelling to him that he needs to get in the little ring she's built if he ever wants to be corporeal again. This is their one shot. But P-Vane chokes the fuck out of Fred.
Boo.
And she can't speak anymore. It's very scary. He's like, you know, now, Spike, you have to choose. You can either be in the little ring and become corporeal again, or you can save Fred, who I am killing. P-Vane says, seeming kind of impressed that Spike doesn't care that he's choking Fred, because he, you know, hesitates when given this choice, says, ooh, there's hope for you yet. To which Spike says, not really. And he's suddenly there and saving Fred. That I loved. That the most felt like Spike to me. Like, yeah. Somewhat him being like, you don't fucking know me. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm someone else. I love it. He punches P-Vane into the circle. So he ends up becoming corporeal rather than Spike. And Angel grabs him and punches the shit out of him. And Fred's like, you can't kill him. He'll just become a spirit again. And then he'll be powerful. And Angel's like, cool. I'll just beat the hell out of him then.
Awesome. Yeah, Angel needs to get out his aggression. Since he can't do it to Spike, he can do it to P-Vane.
Do some therapeutic punches, my dude. Then at the lab later, Wes and Gunn offer to finish cleaning up for Fred because she's had a rough night. She's very, you know, worse for wear. And she's like, thanks, guys. She goes up to her office.
I'd love it if her office, just like, there was a stack of tacos in her office. I need to see her eat. I miss it.
I need her to eat. Fred is happy because Spike showed up. And she's like, that was our one shot. Like, I'm sorry. A lot of the stuff that I used was like basically impossible to find.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I'd ever do it again.
And the power source. They can't ask, you know, Big Cat again. And he makes Spike made an unselfish choice, which is what I've been talking about, like, so far this season. And he says, I'm not going to end up like P-Vane cheating hell any way he could, which, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, it proves her right that he's worth saving.
I loved this so much.
And as much
and
as
he's like,
yeah, as much as this episode's fucked me up, I've remembered him picking up the mug for years vividly.
Yeah, he says, you know, I can even touch stuff again. Like, maybe it's not so bad being a ghost. And he picks up her mug and he holds it out there.
I want to see, like, next episode opens, the mug immediately falls to the floor.
I was waiting, but I thought it was going to drop.
How do we feel about this tag? Were Angels taking glee in this?
Dollhouse. I think, again, this is Dollhouse. Like, in Dollhouse, when you mess up, you are sent to the attic where you are essentially held in suspended animation, taped to a gurney that's horizontal instead of vertical. So they changed that. And you essentially are like a battery for the Dollhouse, like the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. It's also,
this just felt like that again to me.
This is also the garden from the originals.
Yes. Yeah, the garden's the best one, actually, because you brick people into it and that fucking rips. Marcel's the smartest, as always.
Except for, we know he's not the smartest. There's no problem with him.
No, yeah, lately he hasn't been so smart. So yeah, they lock up P-Vane in permanent storage, and Angel's like, I love this. And I'm like, okay.
And he's with Eve. Is she his Dr. Chase Meridian? How dare
it
they?
It would appear.
How dare they?
Yeah, it's weird. And I still think they're all buying into the Wolfram and Hart thing, like, an alarming amount.
I will say it at least closes the loop more than an Unleashed with, like, the exotic werewolf eaters things where we got two different things. Either it's happening again in a month or it's over, but we don't know.
Yeah, fair enough. They got us there.
Yeah, they closed the loop on this one.
All right. Well, then we can't complain.
Yep. We can never complain again.
Never again. It's been a long night. Team Angel has had a real late one. And so have we. Is there anything that you would recommend that they check out on the old WB?
Oh, absolutely. You know what to do.
WB.
They get that hot teen drama to ease the pain and trauma, and here's the episode that he needs to see.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, LaToya.
Yeah.
What episode of the WB should they watch?
Well, I mean, okay, so this is really more of a Fred episode than an Angel episode. Like, Angel's around, mm-hmm. but, like, Fred's yeah. the one who needs the guidance of the WB tonight, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm realizing that I think she should watch a Supernatural episode, actually. Yeah, we did horror. So she should do 103, Dead in the Water. Yes, that is the episode in which Amy Acker guest stars, because I'm starting to think that Amy Acker, with both that episode and this episode, doesn't know how to handle herself in a horror setting at all.
Yeah.
I think she needs to watch the episode and the Angel episode, and, like, just write on the screen, like, it's football mm-hmm. plays, like that bastard yeah. Skip did in Birthday.
Perfect.
I think, yeah, she should really, like, work on that for the future.
Fair enough. Yeah, she struggled in Billy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fred, come on now. Get your head in the game.
Keep your wits about you a little better.
Break. Sports.
Flag on the play.
First down.
Field goal.
Rush.
Blitz.
Blue 52.
Chest pass.
Special teams.
Yeah. All right, you got me.
Yes. So that's my choice.
I love it. Any closing thoughts on this app? I thought we got into it, but
yeah, we did. I'm excited for most of this to be removed, though. We were just dumb.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the many times I could not read my own notes.
That happened a bit, didn't it?
Quite a bit, and I'm very sorry. If you want to follow us on socials, you can do so at Angel on Top Cast on both Twitter and Instagram. You can go to angelontop.com to gain access to our Patreon, which is pretty cool. We have things like the Cole Turner cast over there and ad-free episodes.
Yeah, we got things there. We got things percolating. I got ideas in this old noggin.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I need to tell you later, but I'm going to go to sleep immediately after we're done recording, so.
Ooh, hell yeah. Okay, a little tease on some business to come. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so at Lorgan Mudich on whatever platform that still exists when this comes out. LaToya, where can the people find you, and should they?
Sorry. Okay. Don't, because I'm so tired. If you can't hear, if that yawn stays in, I'm so tired, so don't follow me.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that has been our ep. I think it was a fun one. I hope that this will cut together well. And in the meantime, you are now leaving Wolfram and Hart. We do not validate.
They're evil.
Yeah, because we're mean.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.